Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting this morning from the bright red desk. It is bright and early on Sunday morning with the lovely moon in Virgo. And, of course, moon in Virgo, my sun sign, so I have to work today. I'm speaking in a couple of hours at the NCGR Education Conference on 39th Street in Manhattan between 5th and 6th on Jupiter, which is a reprise of the lecture I did on the Internet a couple months ago when Jupiter went into Scorpio. And, of course, we saw Harvey go down, and then seems like everybody else. You know, and remember, this is kind of like the pedophile priests back when they happened. It seemed like every priest had been doing bad things, and now, you know, it's a repeat of that. It seems back in the AIDS epidemic, it seemed like everybody was dying of AIDS. So we get this point in the middle of the Pluto cycle, actually two-thirds in, and it feels like the world's coming to an end. But it's really not. It's just shifting. But there is a major, major change going on out there. And this week we get to see more of it unfold. So I apologize for last week. I was out in Cincinnati speaking at the Midwest School of Astrology, and I went to visit my friend for dinner and hanging out, and there were tornado warnings. And then there was this huge rainstorm and thunderstorms and 3 inches of rain. It was, like, amazing, and so we did not have connectivity. So I did record when I got back into New York because I traveled back on Monday. So hopefully you caught the show a day late, but not a dollar short, just a day behind because it was a busy week last week. And this week is busy. And then we have a lovely new moon on Friday. So I'm going to be doing the new moon manifestation circle tomorrow, Monday, the 13th. For the new moon manifestation on Friday the 18th. Now, this is a particularly juicy new moon for a couple of reasons. This is the first lunation in Scorpio since Jupiter went into Scorpio. So we're going to have Venus meet up with Jupiter this week. So she's going to tell us her journey with Jupiter. And then we're going to have the Sun and the Moon meet up with Jupiter this week. And they're going to talk to us about their journey with Jupiter in Scorpio. So Jupiter entered Scorpio last month in October, and that was the beginning of the Harvey Weinstein and all the, you know, the secrets coming out in the Mueller investigation and, you know, a bunch of different things coming to light because Jupiter's telling the stories, right? So now this week we find out what we're supposed to do with it. We get our ego instructions, we get our emotional instructions, and we get our Venusian instructions. A couple weeks ago, we got our Mercury instructions. That was when all the hoo-ha was going on, right? Now we're going to have Mars get there in a couple weeks, too. So, it's an interesting time whenever a planet enters a new sign. We'll go through this with Saturn, too, when he gets into Capricorn in December. But this week, we're learning about Jupiter and Scorpio and how we're supposed to use it this week as the Sun and the Moon come to set it off. Now, what they're really going to be at the degree of is 26 Scorpio. And if you think, that was the degree of the eclipse in August. So the eclipse in August is deeply tied into this Jupiter and Scorpio journey we're going to be working with this year. Because the Scorpio energy is a lot about transformation. And, of course, the eclipse wants to get us on our proper path. Now, eclipses they do that every year. We have two of them. And, of course, if it's in your natal sign, you know, say you have nodes in Cancer, Capricorn, the eclipse calls you to go work in that sign and corrects you. But when it's in Leo, like it is this year till next November, while Jupiter's in Scorpio, the Leo nodes, when the Leo eclipses, it's for everybody. It kind of sets us all off on our heart's path and our direction. And I also find when we have the eclipses in Aries, because Aries is the initiating energy, and if we look at something called our draconic chart, which is adjusted for everybody having the north node at Aries, which only happens once every 19 years, but we all have that in energy incarnate, the draconic chart really plays a role when it's the north node in Aries. But for all of us with the North Node in Leo, we're going to look at our sun's path. You know, what is our purpose on Earth as defined by our sun? Where are we supposed to shine as defined by the house that the sun rules, the Leo house or houses in our chart? And finally, what is the lesson that the sun is supposed to walk away from in this incarnation? Where does the sun live in our natal chart by house? So this week's new moon, because it's in Scorpio and he's talking to the nodes of fate, is very, very course correcting. Now, somebody the other day was talking about they knew five people that had called off the weddings. And I'm like, well, I know a few people that called off the weddings too, because we're course correcting. Or five people that had said, you know, I got to stop this. I got to shift and change. We have one more week of that this week, right, as we're in the balsamic release phase for the Jupiter into Libra, right? So before we have the initiation energy of the sun and the moon in Jupiter linking up, sun and moon into Scorpio. So kind of this week is kind of have a little bit of an ending feel too, because what it's doing is it's saying this or this, which do you want? And I've been having those conversations with clients the last couple weeks, this or this, or maybe a third choice we don't know about yet, but you're being asked to make a choice. You're being asked to make a choice. You're being asked to make a choice. So when the choice shows up this week, kind of go, okay, that's the choice I'm being asked to make, and what does it look like? Now, the new moon, when it's cast for New York or for Washington, is right on the ascendant because the new moon takes place at 6:42 in the morning next Saturday, the 18th. So this week is release, 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 and then bright and early, sunrise, next weekend at 6:42, we have the initiating energy that says, okay, this is where we're headed next. So expect reveals this week. We also have Venus meeting up with Jupiter, and she's saying to you what the heart's path is. Now, interestingly, the next new moon that we have, well, not the next, but the new moon that we have in Earth in January involves Venus, Sun, Moon, and Pluto in a constellation, a stellium, a star cluster. And that's going to be a really powerful one because that's really setting the next 8 years of Venus in her star point of Capricorn. So we're really in this pivotal turning point for all of us. And your job, I mean, I know I keep saying to people, what's your vision? What's your vision? One client the other day said, you know, I'm really tired of you asking me that. I'm like, it's my job as your astrologer. And we're all in charge of our own vision. And sometimes it's negative vision. Sometimes we go, well, you know, I don't really want to do that anymore. Okay, get rid of it. And then people go, well, you know, if I get rid of it. I said, no, get rid of it, because when it's gone, there's new coming in. You've cleaned a patch. Think about gardening. I grew up upstate. When we were sent out to weed, my father believed in servant children. When we were sent out to weed his garden, the weeds came back right away. I mean, they did not lally around. There was stuff growing the next week. It's not, nature abhors a vacuum. So if you clear out stuff you don't need, trust me, more stuff will come in. It's just how this world works. So if you know you don't want it, a good week to get rid of it. And if you know you aren't sure if you want it or not, put it on pause. Put it in the pile by the front door and see if someone carries it off to Goodwill for you and you don't have it anymore. Or, you know, put it in storage and kind of go, all right, I'm going to keep it in storage for 2 weeks, and if I don't use it, or a year, whatever your throwing away period is. But we do want to honor this new energy coming in. It's really big, it's really potent, and it's very intense. So we have Venus joining up with Jupiter this week. We have the sun and the moon forming a new moon on Jupiter, initiating the Jupiter energy, which officially says done. We have also Mercury is a busy guy this week. He's in Sag, and he passes his shadow point for Mercury's retrograde. He's going to be retrograde until January 10th, but he's going to be retrograde from December 2nd or 3rd to the 23rd or so of December. Now, he's retrograde in Sagittarius. He also is out of bounds, and he's out of bounds actually in the new moon chart. And he's going to be talking to us about stuff. And of course, when a planet is out of bounds, it doesn't follow the rules. Jupiter's in Sag, answering, or I'm sorry, Mercury's in Sag, answering to Jupiter in Scorpio. He's going to be telling the secrets. He goes out of bounds on the 16th. And he's out of bounds and retrograde in December. So we can anticipate a lot of secrets coming out. Now, sometimes those secrets come out and they make us get really clear because we just found out, pop, 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 and we now know, wow, now that I know that, that changes things. And we want to watch for that energy. In the new moon chart next weekend, Mercury and Saturn are hanging out at the edge of the second house. So they're speaking to an energy of new beginnings. And I'm sending out a newsletter later today on the new moon, which I wrote up and dictated to my assistant the other day, and then I was at the conference yesterday. So it should come out today, tomorrow. Watch my website. It'll be posted on that too. But the nodes of fate are really working with us now, kind of saying to us, okay, what's the vision? On the new moon chart, Ceres is also at the world axis. So she's speaking to us at 15 Leo about what it is we want to create. And then there's a lot of energy going on about telling secrets or revealing things that we didn't know about before for us to then say, okay, let's go. And then, of course, last but not least, Pallas Athena has retrograded back into Aries. You know, she left Aries and went into Taurus and kind of, but she went, you know, I really have to point this out to you. So watch for people to point things out to you that help you change or help you go in a new path or help you shift direction, because there's a very strong energy with that going on. Uranus and Saturn had their last trine and now are splitting up for a long time, and they've been in that fire trine all year long, right? They had it, I think their last trine was actually yesterday. It was yesterday at 4:41 on the 11th. So they've had their third of three, and now they're splitting up and going their own separate ways. So the fire trine starts to break up a little. Now that's the thing that's been percolating away on everybody's butt all year long, burning us up, making us passionate, making us a little crazy sometimes. And so now it starts to separate, and we move into new energies as these fire planets move into Earth. Now think about fire planets moving into Earth, which doesn't happen right away, but they're now focused on moving into Earth. They're not focused on each other anymore. So as they move into Earth, they ground, they grow, they help make things take place, right? So they're done burning each other up and being illuminating and being passionate, and they're kind of like, okay, you haven't seen it by now. You know, I'll give you one more week this week. And then, of course, when Mercury's retrograde in Sag in December, he'll point out to us, you know, remember what I showed you in Sag three times, which is our really, 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 really last chance. But he's out of bounds, so he won't necessarily do it in a nice way. Because when he's out of bounds in Sag, he tends to be a little frank. And he says things like, do you really want me to tell you? And a lot of times when somebody says that to you, you go, and do I really want you to tell me? The way you're saying it makes me think I want to say no. So I would encourage you to say yes, because we're all about conscious living here. But do recognize Mercury may shock you this week with his news. And he will enter his shadow as of the 16th. So that's the upcoming vision of what we're working with also. Any rate, let's do the moons. Excuse me. I have morning post-nasal drip. All right, so the 13th, which is today, the moon's in Virgo with a lovely closing aspect of a square to Saturn. Actually, that's not lovely. That's crabby. But that helps you get clear. That helps you see what you need to see. And it's a little disruptive. It goes void tomorrow at 10:45 in the morning, Monday, and it's void all afternoon. Going into Libra at 6:25 p.m., and it's in Libra Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, going void at 7:50 p.m. with a sextile. That's a very positive new moon. So Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, all good. Void at 7:50 p.m., void all night with a sextile to Saturn. So it's cooperative, encouraging opportunity. Get your stuff out the door. Great time to do it. It's void Wednesday night, the 15th, and it's void until 3:19 in the morning when it goes into Scorpio. And the Scorpio closing aspect is a conjunction to the sun, the new moon, last aspect of the Scorpio sign. So the conjunctions are new beginnings. So that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday until 6:42 in the morning. Then it's void in the morning on Saturday morning, and it goes into Sagittarius at 1:59 p.m., so it's in Sag Saturday afternoon and evening, all day Sunday, and on Monday, all day, Monday the 20th, until it hits Saturn with a conjunction at 7:26. Now, Moon-Saturn conjunctions are both good and bad because they mark an ending or a change, but they also mark a new beginning. So that Moon can go either way, but it's in the Sagittarian house. So if you're beginning a new story in Sag, that's when it begins. If you're ending a story in Sag, that's when it ends. If you're ending and beginning, that's when it happens. So that one can go either way. So the beginning of the week, Monday, hard. Tuesday, Wednesday, good. Thursday, Friday, good. And new beginning. Saturday, afternoon, Sunday, changing, opportunity shifting, moving. And of course, when the moon's in Sag, its last aspect is to the sun. This is the, I believe, the last time the moon meets the sun in Sag. I think this is the last time the moon meets Saturn in Sag. Let me just check. I hadn't noticed that before. Saturn is... Nope, she's got one more meeting with him before Saturn goes into Capricorn. So this is the second to last moon in Sag. So, in other words, Saturn's going to go into Capricorn next month, and the moon will have one more meeting with Saturn before she finishes up. So this is her second to last, right? Her first, one more to go after this one. But this is a culmination. Remember, Saturn's been in Sag since fall of 15. So we're wrapping up the story with Mercury going back retrograde and telling us, remember this. Kind of like the end of the movies when they flash back on all the different parts of the story. I keep flashing on a Doris Day, or not a Doris Day, an Audrey Hepburn movie with either Cary Grant, whatever that one where he was playing all the different roles and Mr. This, because he kept changing his identity. And they flashed him in all the different names he had traveled with. So we're going to have that that energy. Remember? All right, so let's look at the week ahead in terms of aspects. So Tuesday is really a busy day. A lot of stuff going on then. And the rest of the week's kind of quiet. It's only a two-page week, and it's a short two-page week. Sometimes it doesn't even get halfway down the second page, and we have a short week, potent but short. So the sun is going from 22 Scorpio. Now remember, the reason I give you these degrees is you can find every planet in your chart that has degrees between these. And if you don't have a chart, write my assistants, and they will send you one with your birth data, date, time, and place of birth. So 22 Scorpio to 27 Scorpio. So if you have any planets between 22 and 28, they're going to get woken up by the sun this week. That's any planet. And then the planet of the sun is moving through that section of the zodiac somewhere in your chart. So the reason we say that is if you have something at 24, the sun's going to activate it by some kind of energy because it's getting at the same point. So kind of think of it that way. It's kind of like pinball machines lighting up, right? So the sun this week has aspects, it's kind of quiet. It has a little bit of an argument with Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 15th, as it's in Scorpio. And it's an adjusting psychological argument where we look at it in a new way. Sun also has a trine to Chiron, which offers an opportunity for healing on the 16th. And then it has an inconjunct to Uranus, which is an adjusting energy of how do we see things. And again, these are psychological adjustments, and these are anger adjustments. So you can be angry at someone with Eris, and then you go, but I understand why they did it. Now, that doesn't excuse bad behavior, right, or your behavior in reaction to them, but it helps you understand. And it also offers you an adjusting story, an adjusting opportunity. And then the Sun and Saturn are in a little bit of a blind spot. So the Sun gets kind of blindsided by Saturn, or vice versa. Saturn gets blindsided by the Sun, where that means there's some kind of reveal happening. And that happens on the 18th. So watch for the reveal, where you look at it and you go, oh, that's what was going on. Secrets are being told. Mercury's out of bounds. Mercury's in his shadow. Mercury's in Sagittarius. He's a big talker. And sometimes he doesn't talk. He just looks at you. And in that look, you see everything, right? Because Jupiter's in Scorpio. So when you look at someone and you go, well, was this going on? And they look at you with this kind of like, yeah. And they don't say anything, because to speak would be hard, right? But you get that look where you go, okay, I get it. It's an okay, I get it week. Mercury running from 10 Sag to 19 Sag, entering its shadow on the 16th, which alerts us to what we're going to be working with on the Mercury retrograde. He has a square to Neptune, so he sees things clearly right before he goes into the shadow of the retrograde. He has a trine to Ceres, so he's really creative, and that's on the 16th, so great day for that Sag moon's great for creative projects that are about your direction in life or what you're here to teach or speak or whatever. Mercury's also sextile Mars. And Mars is at 16 Libra, so he is, they're working together and taking action. Now remember, Mars and Venus are in what's called mutual reception this week. Venus is in Scorpio, Mars' favorite sign. Mars is in Libra, Venus' favorite sign. So they can swap places. Neither of them particularly likes the sign they're in. So this is a week where we can go higher or we can go lower, and we can go really low because the planets are in signs they don't care for, or we can go really high if we consciously work that energy. And I do encourage you to work the energy to go high. There is an opportunity to change your home or your housing situation on the 16th, and that can be a new work housing, home housing, or body housing, because you're living in a body which is your house for your soul. Then on the 19th, Mercury has a really interesting aspect to the nodes of fate. So you want to see what kind of contracts, negotiations you have, how you're going to get there, what are you going to do, because there's a lot of connections made. Also watch for people that you meet on the 19th, because they're going to be particularly potent or interesting folk for you to work with. Venus is in Scorpio, not one of her favorite places, but she's very passionate, and she has a mutual reception with Mars, so she can get out of the gutter and go dress up and look good, right? That's not to imply everybody with Venus in Scorpio goes in the gutter. I have Venus in Scorpio. Now, I can get down and dirty. I can totally say that. But then there's this other side that says, oh, let's not stay there. Let's go do something else. So Venus is running from 7 Scorpio to 15. 15, she's on the world axis. And she has a square to Ceres. That's next Saturday, the 19th. So there's a lot of really positive energy with her this week. Okay, she has a lovely parallel with, she joins Jupiter on the 13th, as well as being parallel to him. So Venus and Jupiter are very potent on the 13th, because they're working with Jupiter and they're really excited, doubly. They're at the same degree of declination and at the same degree of zodiac. So that's really helpful. And then she has a semi-sextile to Saturn, which is a little bit of an anxiety attack on the 16th. The 13th was so good, she got nervous. That's the way I like to think of that one. and then she trines Neptune, so she has a very positive energy around the new direction. And she has a partnership forming on the 16th as she parallels Juno. And she also is parallel the nodes of fate, bringing in new directions, new people. That's going to happen on the 19th. So we have Mercury on the nodes of fate on the 19th, and we have Venus on the nodes of fate on the 19th. So the 19th is like a hoo-ha day, and we're going to get all excited about the 19th. And then, of course, she squares Ceres on the world axis on the 19th. So whatever happens on the 19th, big day, okay, and is of course, the day after the new moon in Scorpio. So you want to kind of watch that. That's next Sunday. Mars, lovely energy this week. He is in mutual reception, as I mentioned, with Venus, so he can swap out and go become a Scorpio if he wants to, or he can stay in his polite mode in Libra. And he runs from 13 Libra through 17 Libra, activating all the planets in your chart between 13 and 17. He has a quintile to Saturn, which is a creative aspect on the 13th. So he's going to be in a creative mode, and he also sextiles Ceres. Now remember, Ceres is activated by Venus and by the Sun this week, so we're in some kind of creative energy, new creative ideas. And then also food. Ceres rules food. So if you're changing your diet or you're changing your health plan or you're changing your how you nurture yourself, all that counts because Ceres is not just creative projects, but she is pregnancy. She is giving birth to things. So she's active in that way, but she also is how we take care of ourselves, Mother Earth. Think of it as the Mother Earth energy. And Mars this week also has a square to Pluto on the 19th. Now, of course, we have those really nice aspects on the 19th, and then we have the square to Pluto. But the square to Pluto is a cardinal sign, right? And it is Libra and Capricorn. So that isn't as warrior-like as that friggin' Mars trine the Pluto we had a couple weeks ago when that guy shot everybody up in Vegas. But it is an action-taking energy, okay? And we want to watch, because Mars, it can be in his lower form in Libra. We can swap him out to be in his higher form in Scorpio. And then Mars square Pluto in Scorpio is pretty intense. Or we can keep him a little more passive in Libra, or ineffectual, perhaps a better way to say it, and see how that works. When I see that, I'm kind of like, just prepare to have a lot of stuff go on the 19th, and your job is to kind of figure out how you want to use it all. And just have a huge action plan for that day, because there's so many energies culminating. And then Mars is also biquintile Neptune, which has a lot to do with the dreams, the new dream energy. Jupiter is not doing much this week. Saturn's not doing much this week, except for that blindsiding he has earlier in the week. And really, that's just to help him see things he hadn't seen. Vesta, the planet of home and hearth, enters Scorpio, so she wants to kind of clear out the closets and throw away the things that don't really work anymore. So this is a great week for closet clearing, the 15th and 16th, or getting rid of stuff that's not part of your path. And she also has a quintile to the north node of fate on the 17th. So there's a positive energy of creativity then on the 17th for changing the home up. Pallas Athena, of course, is retrograding backwards and leaving Taurus and going into Aries, which makes her be a little bit crabby. But that's all right. You know, she's not 100% sure she wants to do this, but she's going back into Aries and being direct and helping you see things. There's a lot of opportunity to change partnerships or adjust partnerships on the 17th because Juno is aspecting the nodes of fate, and she's encouraging us to do something different. Decent-sized health aspects on the 13th, so don't fool around if something goes wrong on the 13th or the 16th, health-wise, go to the doctor. It's important. And that's basically the week. It should be a fun week. I did it a little early, so you're going to have a pleasant surprise, hopefully. You tune in and it's all here. And wishing you a great week, and I apologize for last week's, I can't really apologize for a thunderstorm, but I was in the middle of weather in Ohio. Who knew there were tornadoes in Ohio? I always learn new things whenever I travel. So I wish you all a great week and a lot of fun and a happy, very productive Sunday. Moon's in Virgo today. You can get a lot done. And next week has a lot of fun in it. So I encourage you to really... those energies wisely and let go of what you need to let go of and love what you need to love. Take care. Bye-bye.